I want you to turn and open your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. And we're going to start there. And we're going to be reading in the King James Version, Luke chapter 6. And I'd like for us to begin. This is the account of the Beatitudes, but there is something here I want you to see. And we're going to start at verse 39. Hopefully bring some clarity to a text of scripture. But before we begin, I want to share that we are in the series Thriving at the Game of Life. Thriving at the game of life. That's what we're about. We're about not just surviving the game of life, but actually thriving. Last week we had a great illustration. Didn't own Deacon Durrell do a great job last week and sharing? We were talking about the Connect Four, how God had to be in your Connect Four in order for you to be all that God called you to be. He, you know, it's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but unless you are letting Him use your life, unless you sit down with Him, then there's no Connect Four. You need the three plus the one to make Connect Four to win the game of life. And today, we're going to continue on with another kind of game. How many people ever played rock, paper, scissors up in here? Anybody ever played rock, paper, scissors? Amen. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to a neighbor, and I want you to do this. One, two, three, go. And I want you to do rock, paper, scissors. Hold on, wait. Hey, y'all wait on me. Wait. Boy, I got some spicy people in here. Okay, here we go. On count of three, I want to see who won. Ready? One, two, three, go. You got to do each other now. Who won? Let me see the winner. Who won on that one? Okay, let's try it again. Okay, I'm going to count on three. Here we go. One, two, three, go. Who won? Like nobody's winning. What is wrong with you people? Someone has to win. Okay, all right. Last time, choose a partner. This is for all the marbles. Okay, in other words, you got to buy them a bag of marbles when this is over. Here we go. One, two, three, go. Who won? Okay. Which one do you win the most with? Everybody say, how many say rock? How many say scissors? How many say paper? The rock wins. Hello, somebody. That's it. Yeah. The rock wins. Okay. I thought so, but I needed you guys to prove it, okay? Oftentimes, we play these kind of games in our own life, and it's sort of like this. We've got rock, paper, and scissors in our own life. We're going, God, I hope you make it, ha! God, I hope you do it, ha! And we're fighting the enemy, and we're playing games with him, and we're saying, I hope I get a rock. I hope I can outsmart him. I hope I can outwit him. I hope that what I'm trying to do will work. And I'm here to tell you, what if I could tell you how to win the game of life consistently? Would you want that? Would you want to know how to do that? See, I like the rock too, but sometimes the enemy brings out the scissors and he cuts off your blessing too soon because you put out paper and paper ain't strong enough against scissors. Hello, somebody. And so sometimes when we play in these things, the enemy keeps trying to say, listen, you got to do it this way. Play with me in the game. Play with me in the game. And sometimes it ain't a game that we're supposed to play. We take charge of the game. We say, I already have the rules and I already won. We are more than conquerors in Christ who called, hello, somebody. The battle's already been won. And the key is to understand the strategy, how to win the game. Now, I'm going to begin with a text of scripture, and then I'm going to tell you a story of something the Lord told me. But this is how we win. This is something all of us need to understand. If you go to Luke chapter 6, verse 39, and can everyone read it, please? Go. Now, let me stop. Everyone's heard this verse before, right? This is one of those famous verses. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they both not fall into a ditch? And the concept here is like, man, you don't want to follow somebody that doesn't know where they're going. Hello. Right? Like sometimes you're in a car and you ask your husband, hey, do you want to stop to get some directions? No, I got it. I don't believe in that. I stop every 2 minutes if I have to. Can the blind lead the blind? I need you to understand this text in this light. This text he's about to go into is not about who's following. It's about who's leading. Remember that. And he spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they both not fall into the ditch? If you don't know the way, then the people following you won't know the way. What you understand to be true will also be true with those people that follow you, whether your family, your husband, your wife, your co-workers, which one it is. Now look at this. Verse 40. Let's all read. Go. Now, what does that mean? It says the disciple is never above his master, but everyone that is the best or have reached maturity shall be what? As. So in other words, here's the idea. No matter how much the people under you, you want them to grow and to be all that they're called to be, they can only be as good as what you pour into them. I need you to understand what I'm saying. How many are parents in here? Okay? You can't get mad at the teacher at school because the kid's bullying somebody and you think, no. You have to teach your child bullying is wrong. Hello, somebody. And you've got to teach your child don't take bullying from anybody. Bring it to an adult. Hello, somebody. You have to teach them because the best there ever be is at least be like you. I want you to look at your life right now. Right now. Everybody say R-A-T. Now. Right now. Look at your life and say, is this the life that I'm exhibiting, the same life I want those who follow me to be like? Ask the question. If you have children, do you want them to follow the life you're showing them right now? Because they can only be as good as you are if you don't find yourself better. If you want to win in the game of life, you've got to know how to be better at yourself. But just follow me here. Verse 41, let's read it. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in your brother's eye? Now watch this. Anybody ever heard this? Do as I say, not as I do. Anybody grew up like that? Anybody parents told them that? They send you to church. The husband say, honey, you can go. I'm going to stay home, watch sports. Listen, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees who are proud that they have disciples. And he says this, how in the world can you behold what's wrong in them, but you haven't yet ascertained what's wrong in you? It's like me. Before I can tell my child how to be a better person, I've got to start being a better person myself. I love my children. They're my disciples. They follow me. But if I keep telling them, believe God, and every time bills get tight, I start grumbling and complaining, they're not going to believe what I say. I've got to be what God called me to be. There's a way to become that better person, that you're not walking around. And I love what it says. It says, how can you behold the mote? You know what a mote is? Mote is like a sliver of a wood, like you get it in your eye, like a little piece of wood in your eye, and you just kind of rub it. He says, how can you catch that out of somebody else's eye when you've got a beam? He's talking about one of them telephone poles sticking out of yours. Boom, boom. You hitting everybody every time you talk to them. How you doing? Boom. And you just knock them down. Because the moat is so huge in your own eye. You cannot see. I can't see right now with these glasses. You cannot see unless you remove it first out of your eye. I'm encouraging you today to check yourself. Check your eye. Check your spiritual eye. What's there? Before we start saying what needs to be done, have we done all we can do in our own lives? Because whether you believe it or not, somebody is following you. And I want to encourage you, there's hope. If someone is following your lifestyle, there is hope. And I want to show you what happened next. Look at this. Verse 42. Jesus says again, either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull that mote that is in your eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thy own eye. Could you imagine a surgeon saying to you, a blind surgeon, hey, I got you. Just let me do it. Where does it hurt? Would you stay on the table? No, I'd move. I don't know about you, but I get up out of Dodge for real. Well, the thing is that before you begin to dissect what is in someone else's eye, Jesus was saying to the Pharisees, listen, stop doing that. You are creating another one of you if you don't change your ways. Unless you learn a better way to live, you're going to keep playing rock, paper, scissors all your life, and you're going to sometimes win and sometimes lose. But I want to show you there's one way to win all the time. Watch this. He goes, thou hypocrite, cast out the beam of thine own eye. And then, conditional statement, if you cast it out, then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in your brother's eye. It's easy to help other people, to raise up our children, to critique our wives when our hearts are pure, to love on our husbands when we've handled that thing that keeps bothering us. We have to go and understand that the people around us are not the ones that make us. They're the ones that walk with us. But God is the one that makes us who we're supposed to be. And if we don't go back, not to the paper, not to the scissors, but if we don't go back to the rock, we're going to lose in the game of life. I want to show you what he says next. He says, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. You can only bring out what's in you. For every tree is known by its fruit. Now, a person doesn't have to tell you who they are. What they do tells you who they are. I'm a good person. I'm a bad person. I'll know whether you're one or the other by what you do. Your actions say everything. You ever had somebody give you food and it ain't good? And you like, thank you. You ain't asked for seconds, they know. You ever see one of them babies that just look like, something happened? And you can't lie, so you don't say, that's a beautiful baby. You say, looks just like you. Don't lie, amen. You're known by the fruit. A tree is known by its fruit. Watch this. For every tree that is known by its own fruit, for thorns men cannot get. If men are looking for something from you, they can't get it unless you have it. Men can't gather thorns from a fig tree, nor gather bamboo bush, gather they grapes. They can't get grapes out of a bramble bush. But here's where everything comes down. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And yet an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, look at your neighbor and say, watch your mouth. See, what you say tells me more about who you are, because it comes from here. You don't have to say, well, I didn't mean that way. Yes, you did. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's like putting your life in the hands of, and this is how you know where a person is. Do you really trust God when trouble comes? Do you really, do you lift up your voice in prayer or complaint? That's what you have in your heart. Do you trust him unconditionally? Can you say, God, no matter what happens to me, I'm not turning around, no matter how I feel, no matter when it's not working out, God, I know you've got my back. That's coming out of my mouth. That means I believe it. When I say, I don't know if it's going to work, I don't know what's going to happen, that means that my heart is not founded on a foundation. I need a better foundation in my heart. Because what I'm saying is really who I am. So what are you saying at home? What are you speaking to the people around you? Let it be life. Because you know what? You were made to be successful. You were made to achieve. You were made to overcome. You were not made to fail. You were made to succeed in what God called you on this earth to do. So why talk any different? You can't tell me I can't do it. You tell me I can't do it, I'm going to do it just because you said it. Because I believe that God didn't make a mistake when he put me in this earth. He wasn't playing rock, paper, scissors with my soul. He knew I got to get somebody just like Steve in this earth to do something. I want you to point up in the air just like this. And then point straight at yourself. He made you because there's something you got to do. Look at your neighbor and say, God didn't make no junk. God didn't make no junk. The Bible literally calls us his masterpieces. That means that whether or not you believe it, I want to get you to the point of stop doubting yourself, start believing in yourself that God put all these good things in you for you to succeed. Not cut up by scissors, not get a paper cut, but have the rock in your life. You're not here by accident. God called you to remind you that you are more than a conqueror through him that is in you. Greater is he that is in you than he. Stop telling your situation it can win over your life. It doesn't matter if it looks bad now. It's still got to come around to your benefit. All things work together for the good of those that love God and are the called. The called. The God called me out of heaven for the earth at this time. You are called to be here. There was a reservation in life just for you. You are VIP. You're supposed to be here. So maybe we had teachers that were telling us we couldn't succeed. Maybe we had people we were following that had a big old moat in their eye. Okay, but I'm telling you, take your eyes off of them. Put your eyes back on the rock because we're about to go somewhere. My daddy wasn't there. It's okay. God is called Abba Father. We got your back. Don't worry about it. My mother wasn't there. It's okay. He's like an eagle, a mother eagle. He wraps you in his wings. We got you covered. Well, my brother wasn't there. Jesus is co-heir unto Christ, unto heaven. He is our elder brother. I got you there too. I don't have a sister. I don't know what to say about that. But anyway. Listen to what Jesus says. Why call me Lord, Lord? Why are you, what's the purpose of wasting time? Calling me Lord, Lord, if you don't do what I'm telling you. See, it won't work unless you do it. Stop calling me Pastor, Pastor, if you won't do what I ask you to do. if I'm telling you how to survive. I'm not your pastor if you're not going to do what I ask. Don't play games with me. You can put money in the offering, but I'm still not your pastor. The Lord still ain't your Lord if you won't obey what he tells you to do. No matter what you say, you have to do what he says. Then you will see how it will work. Hello, somebody. So Jesus makes it easy for us. Because many of us in our life, and I'm sure there's some of you in here today, that you started out strong. And you're walking through life and you were like, man, I got this. And you had strength. Maybe you just got married and you're like, ah, I love marriage, it's great. What? Why are y'all laughing? But what? But at year five, you can start thinking, what is wrong with this knucklehead? The very thing you used to love now irritates you. Oh, they're so, look at them, they just give. They're so giving. I love that about them. 5 years later, if you give any more of my money away, I'm going to get mad at you. And we begin to forget about what God, why God brought us together. We forget that God had a plan for the two of us. And sometimes we're running along in our life and our marriage, and we're thinking everything's going to be great. And maybe it's on your job. Maybe you're finding out that, man, I thought this was going to be good. I thought this was a new beginning, and then it starts getting hard for you. Maybe you thought you were over the depression, and it comes back, and you go, God, this ain't right. I shouldn't feel like this. I shouldn't think like this. And you start to feel like, man, why am I going through this? Why does it seem like I keep going through cycles in my life? It seems like once I get out of a problem, it's like I turn around and walk right back into the same kind of problem. What is wrong? What's happening? What's going on in my life? And I don't know about you, but sometimes we try so hard to make our lives work that we wear ourselves out. Let me give you an illustration. Jesus says this. He says, I will show you a man who hears my sayings. Number one, you hear it. And number two, you do it. I want to show you what he's like. Look at verse 48. Everyone read. He is like a man. Stop right there. He dig deep. He wanted a house that would last forever. I want you to think about the dreams that are in your heart, that you want it to work and to come to pass and to last forever. And you dig deep. You put all your back into it. You worked hard for it. And you've got this incredible ditch that you're going to lay your house upon. But here, the only way that you can do this right is if you put it on a rock. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that try to build it. And Jesus says, I'm going to show you a man who hears what I say, and not only hears it, just doesn't become a church person, knowledgeable here, become a sponge, they soak it up, but they never wring it out. I'm going to show you a person who learns to wring out what I tell them in real life. He says, watch this. He's going to be like this person who built a house, dig deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose, everybody say flood. Flood. You will have floods in your life. But listen to me. They're a natural part of life, but you don't have to be a victim of the flood. Hello, somebody. You can overcome even flood. Look what he says. He says, he dig deep, lay the foundation on a rock, and when, meaning it's going to come at some point in your life, when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house. The waves were hitting it, and it wanted to knock it down, but it could not shake it.
Come on now.
For it was founded upon a rock. A rock. What is that rock? He that heareth my sayings and does them. I want you to win and thrive at the game of life. The key to winning is do what he says. When you hear it, activate it by faith. Don't say how it won't work. Check it. Use it as quick as you can. And watch how when the floods come, they can't knock you down. This is very important. Look what he says. He says, but he that heareth me and doeth it not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the streams did beat vehemently. And what? Immediately. It what? And the ruin of that house was great. If we as believers don't make Jesus the foundation of why we do what we do, when trouble comes, it will knock down everything we've ever built. Let me tell you a true story. We'll move this out of the way. Years ago, when we started the church, we were over in Venetian Gardens, which is gone now. That used to be where we started our church. And we would meet there every day, every Thursday, and we would talk about what we wanted to do, how we wanted to build a multicultural church where all people could worship God together and not feel intimidated when they come into worship. And that was our dream. That was our dream. It's what I wanted to have created. And there are dreams in each of you that God put in you that he wants you to create. It won't happen unless you do it. Maybe it's a business. Maybe it's helping somebody. Maybe it's a family. Maybe it's something amazing that I can't even wrap my head around. But you know what it is he put in your heart to do. And you're looking at it and you want it to succeed. It's a vision. It's a dream. But the Lord says, unless you built it upon a rock, it cannot stand when the winds come and the waves blow. And we started the church, and man, it was awesome. We were working it, man. We were having services. We had one green light that flashed. It was so awesome. That was our whole lighting system, a green light. Doo, 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 doo. And I didn't know how to preach, so I just preached. I had 12 pages of notes, and everybody stayed with me. Praise the Lord. That was awesome. But then there came a time in that whole period where I started getting weary and tired and felt like, man, I want to give up. Has anybody ever been in a point in your life where you just wanted to walk away what was right in front of you? How many of you remember that moment where you're like, you know, is it worth it? You start asking those kind of questions. And you begin to wonder, is God even in this? And you begin to doubt yourself. But it was so clear when you began. You were running when it began. You were on fire. And then somehow the flame began to peter out. Anyone ever had that happen to them? Is it happening to anybody right now? Anybody know what I'm talking about? What do you do when that happens? Because you can either keep hoping you'll win the game of life, or you can put it back on the rock. Here's what happened to me. I was so tired, weary, and I felt like I just wanted to give up because there was so much trouble. The people were mean. Some people were just mean to me. People were just, you know, I don't like the way you preach. Okay, I'm sorry. It's all I have. You know what I mean? People would talk about you. And I was tired. And I remember saying, you know what? I'm going to go out of town. I'm not even going to tell anybody. I'm going to go out of town because I knew there was a prophet in this town called Georgia. I mean, this state called Georgia. So I'm going to go up to Georgia and get me a word from the Lord. Everybody said, Pastor Steve, where are you going? I said, I'm just going for a ride. But I knew if I didn't get a word from the Lord, I wasn't going to make it. How many know sometimes all you need is one word from the Lord? I tell people, listen, it'll turn your whole situation around. Sometimes when you don't know what to pray, just say, God, give me a word. Something to hold on to, something to believe in, because I'll do it. I'm desperate. And I remember getting in my car, driving all the way up to a friend's house, got to the house, and I said, do you remember that guy's number that was a prophet? He said, yeah. I said, let me get his number. So I called the guy up, and I said, I'm just here in Georgia. Is there a word of the Lord for me? And the man said, I didn't expect this call. Okay, well, let me see. And he began to prophesy the most depressing word I ever heard in my life. He missed it all. I mean, he was so wrong, I felt bad for him. You know what I mean? He's like, yeah, and God's going to give you, you're about to get married. I'm like, I've been married for 15 years. Oh, my God. And it was so bad, when I hung up the phone, I felt worse. And I looked at the guy and I said, you know what? I'm just going to go home. And I got back in my car, drove all the way to Florida, sad. Got to my office to lock it up and go home. And my phone rang. And there was a man that picked up. And he says, Pastor Steve? I said, yes. He said, I know it's a Saturday and you're usually not doing church, but the Lord told me to call you. He says, you don't know me, but I'm a prophet. And the Lord, I was just in prayer, and he told me to call this number and tell you something. How many know God knows where to find you when you... I'm going to show you what he said to me. He said, Steve, he said, Pastor Steve, the Lord told me to tell you this. When you started your ministry, imagine this. There's a rock in the middle. And you started your ministry, you had a machete, and you were chopping down the jungle for people. And you were, man, that blade was so sharp. You were just cutting stuff up, and the church is moving and growing and prospering, and you're cutting that thing, and you're cutting that thing, and it's so easy because your blade is so sharp, and you're like, whoa, whoa, and you're having success after success after success. But as you move forward and the people are following you, you begin to go a little bit slower because the blade that you had begins to get a little bit duller, and you didn't sharpen your blade because you were so used to moving and doing, and you didn't sharpen it. And so instead of stopping and sharpening your blade, you swung harder and harder to get the same results until you were swinging with all of your strength. And because you're doing it in your strength, you're getting weary, weary and tired and want to quit, and you want to give up because you want the same pace, but you forgot to sharpen your sword. And he says, I see you walk into an opening, and Jesus is sitting on the rock, and you walk right past him with your blade in your hand to the other side of the jungle to start chopping again. He says, you didn't even see him. And he says, Jesus was sitting on the rock watching you walk right past him. And then he calls out to you. And he says, I saw the Lord say, Steve, come here, boy. And you got to know sometimes how God talks to you. That's how God talks. Come here, boy. Just come here. And I turned, he said, I saw you turn around and you sat next to him on the rock. Like a little boy. And he took the blade out of your hand. And he says, "What are you doing?" And he takes the machete, and while he's sitting on the rock, he takes another rock and begins to sharpen my blade. And he said these words to me: "You can never cut and move as fast as you did unless you let my word sharpen you." And he's shaving off the dull edges of my blade. And he's saying, "The reason you're weary is because I'm asking you to sit with me and you're trying to work. If you just spend a little time with me, I will let your house be built on a foundation that when the winds blow and the waves come, it can't knock you over because you're founded upon a rock." Church, when he handed back the machete to me, it was sharper than it ever had been. And I was able to continue on with what he called me to do. What am I saying to you as a church? Don't make life hard. Sit with him. We struggle so hard to make things work because we're trying to do it in our own strength. When if we just spend a little time with Jesus, he will take the weapons of your warfare and sharpen them so you don't have to use your strength. It's his. Do you understand? I want to read this last text to you about the children of Israel, and it's a plea from God to you. I want you to turn to Psalms 81. And we're going to look at verse 10. And God wants to remind you that he's the rock that we can sit with, and he won't condemn us for taking a break with him. But that's how we survive. You want to thrive in the game of life? Sit down. You want to survive the game of life? Let him sharpen you. You can't get it just working every day, 9 to 5, in and out, trying to make your family work, trying to make your marriage work, trying to make your bills work. You can't do it without him. Look at your neighbor and say, "Sit down." Spend a little time with Jesus. Spend a little time. Psalms 81, verse 10, says this, and this is to you as we close. God says, "I am the Lord thy God that brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." How many are hungry in your spirit, man? You need more. It's an opportunity and an invitation. Open your mouth wide. And God says, like the bird and the eagle, I will come and fill your mouth with food. And he goes on in the next verse and says this. Watch this, 11. He says in verse 11, as they turn to it, he says, "But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me." 12. "So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsel." Always playing rock, paper, scissors, winning and losing, winning and losing. He says, "If you're not going to sit with me, I'll let you do it your way. But it's going to be your counsel and your thinking." But then look what happens. Verse 13. this is God's play. You would think God wouldn't even talk like this. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. 14. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hands against their adversaries. He said, oh, if they would have just stopped at the rock and did it with me, let it come my way, do it my way, I would have already stopped their enemies and subdued the ones against them. I would have done it. 15. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. 16. Watch this. He should have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with honey out of the... Should I have satisfied you? Sweetness out of a hard situation. If we would just come to him. Would you stand to your feet, please?